Welcome on Duke and UNC reporter for The Athletic, the great Brennan Marks in the Technicom Hotline. Brennan, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate you guys.
So as we look at Sam Howell and him and the decision to head off into the NFL, what do you think Sam Howell's legacy is with the North Carolina football program?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at maybe more so his individual performance than team performance, I think it's pretty clear that he's the best quarterback in school history, right? I mean, the guy has 21 school records. He holds the all-time marks for touchdown passes in a season, all-time touchdown passes, all-time touchdowns accounted for, all-time offense, passing yards. I mean, literally every stat that you could want as a quarterback he owns. And he did that as a true freshman coming into a team that had won 5 games the prior 2 years combined. So he was the definition of someone who elevated the players around him. He expedited North Carolina's rebuild. He made the second Mac Brown tenure relevant to some extent nationally, and he brought UNC to its first New Year's Six Bowl in nearly 5 decades. So you would have loved for him to have gone out in a better season. I think that he would tell you that this was not how he envisioned his final year in Chapel Hill going, but altogether, you cannot fault Sam Howell for what he did, and I think he goes down as the best quarterback and maybe one of the best players ever in UNC history.
Brennan, he obviously could have come back for a fourth year in North Carolina. He could have also used the transfer portal, as we've seen so many players use in college football. Why does this move right now, leaving for the NFL after 3 years, make sense for Sam Howell?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how much more there is for Sam to prove at the college level, to be honest with you. I think that in terms of reading defenses, in terms of making highlight reel throws, he has shown just about everything that there is to his game, and he's shown it multiple times over. I mean, the one big thing that he hadn't shown until this year was his mobility and ability to use his legs as an offensive threat and to move the chains, and he did that this year. You know, I think he finished, you know, after bowls and everything, still is one of the top 5 rushing quarterbacks in the country. So if he stays, he's going to be losing most of his offensive line. Again, he's not working with tremendous weapons. That was, you know, I think something that showed up multiple times this season where guys failed to get open, couldn't catch the ball, you know, didn't really help him. And so if he's coming back without an offensive line, without weapons, his offensive coordinator almost took a head coaching job last year. Who knows if he'll be in the mix again this year. I think when you put all that together, there just isn't a lot of upside for Sam to come back. And considering the quarterback landscape in the NFL, as folks in Charlotte know very well, there's a market for these guys. And Sam's stock is going to be pretty high, and I think he has a strong chance to be a first-round draftee.
Brennan Marks, Duke and UNC reporter for The Athletic. We're going to get to some basketball talk here in just a few moments. A couple big matchups for both Duke and UNC coming up. But before we get into that, what is the state of the quarterback situation for UNC? Because it's not just Sam Howell leaving. They also had some losses up front enter the NFL draft in the portal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So you've now had multiple offensive linemen. Not that this offensive line was anything terrific. I think Sam took more sacks than any quarterback in UNC history this year. But a number of those offensive linemen who are experienced, who are veterans, are going into the portal too. And so now you look to who takes over for Sam. And the two main contenders are obviously Jacoby Criswell, a sophomore, and Drake May, a true freshman. And there's going to be a competition. Both of those guys got some pretty extended playing time against Wofford, the game that Sam missed this year. And they both look pretty good, to be honest. I think they both earned themselves an opportunity to fight for the job in that game. And I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Mac Brown handle the situation the same way he did with the quarterback competition that Sam won his freshman season, which basically dragged all the way into August. And it wasn't until right before the first game against South Carolina that Mac said, okay, you know, Sam's our guy. He's who we're going with. And I think you do that for a couple of reasons. You do it, number one, so that you're making sure you're making the right decision. You get the most eyes on guys. And two, in this era of college football, if you make a decision in June or in May or so far out in advance, you risk having the loser of said competition potentially leave. And then you've got no quarterback depth. So I will say that I think when Drake May flipped his college commitment from Alabama to North Carolina, it was very much done with the intention that he would eventually be Sam's successor. And if I had to, you know, pigeonhole the odds right now, I would say he is probably the favorite to take over for Sam. But that's a year away, and there's a long time, and Jacoby Criswell can make a lot of improvements. He throws a great ball. He's got tremendous arm talent. So we'll see who it is. I think ultimately will end up being Drake May, but whoever it is, they're going to be doing it behind a new and rejuvenated, hopefully, offensive line, because those guys couldn't really protect Sam last year as much as they needed to.
Brennan, looking to the college football or college basketball landscape, Duke gets back to it. Tonight, they've got Georgia Tech. Duke obviously has had their COVID woes, as a lot of folks have here, and you look at where they've been recently here, they haven't played since December 22nd. What can we expect from this Duke team after such a layoff?
Yeah, and not only did Duke not play since December 22nd, Duke only played four games in the whole month of December. So between finals and this recent COVID outbreak, this is a team that has not had a lot of time together the last couple of weeks. And so I think that, you know, against Georgia Tech, you're going to see some rust. How can you not? You're going to see a team that probably misses some shots probably that it normally would make. You're going to see a team that maybe doesn't defend as cohesively as it normally does. But I'll be really interested to see how much fight this team has in them, because listening to Mike Krzyzewski yesterday, he said basically yesterday is the first day and since this COVID outbreak started that his whole team was able to practice together in some semblance of togetherness. So he is having one day basically to get ready for an ACC opponent that, frankly, isn't very bad. You know, I think Georgia Tech is one of those teams who people may not know a whole lot about them, and they've got some not great losses on their schedule. But Michael DeVoe is one of the best players in the league. Jordan Usher is a great player, too. Down the lineup, they've got a couple of injuries. They've been banged up a little bit. But those two guys can score. And so I'd be interested to see if, especially defensively, Duke can play cohesively despite a lack of practice time. I would still pick the Blue Devils to win, but it'll be interesting to see just how much rust there really is.
And then Wednesday night, North Carolina, with their second game since their COVID layoff, they've got Notre Dame here. Notre Dame, kind of a middle of the pack, back of the middle pack of the ACC. Is this going to be a bigger challenge, equal challenge, lesser challenge than the Boston College team they wrapped over the head this weekend?
Yeah, it'll be a bigger challenge, if only because that Boston College game was essentially glorified scrimmage. I mean, I wouldn't have blamed any fans or even parents of players for turning it off. It got to be that bad at one point. So Notre Dame's a team that can score. Listen, Notre Dame can put the ball in the hoop. So I think for UNC, this is going to be a really interesting defensive test, too. I mean, I think we all know that UNC can score consistently, is able to put up 70, 80 points, and can hang with the best teams in the league in that capacity. It's been on stopping the ball from going in the basket where UNC has struggled, and Notre Dame can do that. So I'll be really interested to see how that looks. I do think that Boston College game, you got to see a little bit more of the depth of this lineup. You got to see Hubert Davis go to his bench and play DeMarco Dunn, play Dontre Styles for some extended minutes. And Justin McCoy missed that game due to being in the COVID protocols himself. And if he's out again, I would love to see the freshman continue to get some burn, especially early on against a team that's going to run and run and run. So again, this is a game where I pick UNC to win. But I'd be interested to see if defensively they're able to take another step forward and try and keep honing in on that end of the floor.
Brennan, looking to the two programs together, Duke and UNC, it seems as if the conference's hopes are on Duke and UNC once again this year. How wide of a gap is there between Duke and UNC and everybody else in the conference?
Yeah, I think the gap is wider between Duke and everybody else because while North Carolina can be a very good team, it's still just an okay team right now. This is a team that doesn't have a top 75 defense. That Kentucky loss still happened. I mean, they still have gotten their blame. You know, they've gotten beaten handily against a couple of teams now, Tennessee as well. I think when you look at Duke, I mean, this is very clearly the best team in the league, and it's sort of going to be an uphill battle for anybody else to prove that they're even in striking distance of the Blue Devils. I think North Carolina can do that. I think there are a couple other teams in the league who have a chance to do that as well. You know, you look at Virginia Tech, I think they played Duke really well and are probably one of the more underrated teams in the league, maybe even nationally. But I look at it sort of as being in tiers, and Duke is in a tier of itself. And then in that second tier, yeah, I probably lead it off with North Carolina, and, you know, maybe I put Louisville in there, maybe I put Virginia Tech in there, but those teams are all still fighting to get to Duke's level, and I think, you know, pretty clearly and convincingly, we've seen that if there's going to be a national champion come out of the ACC this year, I wouldn't put my money on anybody else but Duke.